no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a cop.
It's just me, not you.
How'd you play out there, Doug?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I love the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What is happening, folks? Welcome back to the Beltway Golfer Podcast. This is episode 81. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. On today's show, we've got one of the quartet that makes up, can I say legendary? The legendary sports junkies. They've been on the radio here in the DC market doing sports radio since the mid-90s for 30 years. I've been listening for literally decades, kind of from the beginning. I don't have as much of a commute as I once did, so I don't get a chance to listen to them as much as I used to, but I've been listening to these guys literally since I was a teenager. And these guys have interviewed literally everybody in sports and quite a few people in entertainment. They've been on 5 days a week for almost 30 years. It's a remarkable run. If you're new to the area and you're not familiar with sports junkies, these guys started as childhood friends in PG County and got started on cable access and just made an improbable run, and kind of their irreverent humor and some of their language, you know, really grew their fan base over the years. And it's just been a remarkable run. So these guys are in their 50s now, still going strong. You can hear them 5 days a week in mornings on 106.7 The Fan. But I've been a fan of these guys for a long time. They're just simply legends in sports media in this area at this point. And all of them, to some degree, are golfers. You've got Jason Bishop, you got Eric Bickle, you got JP Flame, and John Allville. They've all got nicknames, and they're all golfers to some degree. Jason talks about it in our conversation. If I didn't say that, our show today is with Jason Bishop, who's known on the show. He's had nicknames everything from Lurch to King of Ashburn, Lurch Papa. But he over the years, he's always seemed to be the one that really has loved golf and is always talking about golf rounds and really talking about, you know, what's going on the PGA Tour. The other guys as well, but always seemingly to a little bit of a lesser extent. So when I thought about having one of them on, I really wanted to reach out to Jason, because at least to me anyway, he's always seemed to be the one that has just had a genuine love of the game of golf. So it was really exciting to chat with him. I'd met him once before, but never really had a conversation with him. So to sit down and kind of pick his brain, and we did a little bit of a Masters preview. We talked gambling. He hosted his own gambling podcast for a few years outside of the radio show, but a lot of fun to chat with Jason. Anyway, this episode is brought to you. We got a sponsor, Pinned Golf, P-I-N-N-E-D Golf. You can find them at pinnedgolf.com. They are the makers of a variety of beautiful range finders and on-course speakers that come in a variety of colors, but most importantly are high quality and do not break the bank. You can head over to pingolf.com, enter code Beltway at checkout and get yourself 15% off. And in doing so, you're also supporting Beltway Golfer and this podcast. Also give them a follow on social media at Pinned Golf. Again, that discount code is Beltway, B-E-L-T-W-A-Y, pingolf.com. Before we get to the conversation with Jason, I don't say it enough, but sometimes I don't realize how much it really helps. If you want another way to support this podcast is leave us a rating, subscribe to us on YouTube, or if you're listening on just audio, whatever platform, iTunes, Spotify, whatever you're on, leave us a rating. It helps out a lot, kind of gives us more exposure. I think oftentimes I haven't realized that enough. This podcast is coming out on Masters Week, so it's exciting. A lot of exciting storylines. Scottie Scheffler, the heavy betting favorite. Local golfer Denny McCarthy, former podcast guest, making his first appearance at the Masters. Still have the whole live PGA Tour dynamic. Can Rory, you know, get over the hump and complete his career Grand Slam? Can't wait. you know, it's obviously everybody's favorite week in golf. So it was cool to sit down with Jason Bishop from the Junkies and talk a little Masters. Hope you enjoy it. Let's get to it. Here it is. Episode 81 of the Beltway Golfer Podcast with Jason Bishop of the Sports Junkies. Enjoy. All right. We're here with Jason Bishop of, are you guys still called the Sports Junkies or is it just the Junkies?
I mean, technically, yeah, we are the Sports Junkies, but I don't know. We've been the Junkies, the Sports Junkies, the Sports Clowns, the Idiots for, I don't know. You call us whatever you want, but yeah, just call us the Junks.
Got it. So I have to admit, I started listening to you guys. I mean, I go way back. My first job out of high school, and I didn't go straight to college. This is like 96. Was that winter? I was a delivery guy for Takeout Taxi. Wow. Which was such a shitty job. I can't even tell you. But I remember one of the things I remember was like during that period, I only worked there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, was a guy turned me on. And he's like, you got to listen to these guys, the Sports Junkies. And it was Sunday nights on WJFK, which I guess I didn't even realize until recently looking it up that was basically the year you guys started, right? About 1996.
Yeah. I mean, we're working on almost 30 years. So yeah, we were doing weekend night, and then we started doing weekday nights, or weeknights, and then we got the opportunity to go morning, and that was probably 2003. Shit, JP would probably know better, but early 2000s. But yeah, but overall, we're working on almost 30 years. We're cranking year 2028, I think.
It's an impressive run, and I mean, no sign of letting up, right? I mean, you guys have every intention of going into the future. No end in sight.
As far as we can. I don't know, man. We're in a 4-year contract. We're in year two of a 4-year contract. So I don't know the future, honestly. Yeah, I mean, right. It kind of depends on what the company wants to do and what all the other guys want to do. And I will say getting up at 4 a.m. every day and driving into the city from where I live, it ain't fun, right?
So, I can imagine.
I ain't going to do it forever, put it that way.
Yeah. But
it's my job now, and I got to get my younger daughter through college. She's a junior down at Virginia Tech. So as for now, that's what we're doing, and we'll talk in 2026. We'll see what the future holds.
It sounds good. So you've been deemed on the show many, many times as the king of Ashburn. You still call Ashburn home?
Ashburn's my home, man. Yeah, been here since, originally moved to Sterling, which is next town over. Where do you live?
I live in Arlington.
Yeah, so been in Ashburn in this house for 18 years, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think been the only time I've had any kind of face-to-face interaction with you was literally making the turn at 1757, gosh, probably 12 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, it was maybe even long. I'm just guessing. It was a long time ago.
Probably last time I played 1757. Well, I haven't played there in a long time.
This was back when it was public, now it's private. So that's kind of where I was going. So you live in Ashburn. This is a golf podcast, so we're going to try to do mostly golf here. Mm-hmm. Where do you play most of your rounds of golf?
Well, I'm a member at Evergreen.
Okay.
You ever been out to Evergreen?
I have not. I have a standing invite. There's another gentleman I had on the podcast. Maybe you know, he's the GM at Golfdom, Matt Trenton.
Yeah, I know Matt.
Yeah, so he's a member at there. Yeah, and he's kind of invited me out. I haven't taken him up on it yet, but I'm planning to this year.
You'd love it, especially in the fall. Man, it's awesome because it's right there in the mountains, and the fall foliage is unbeatable. But yeah, I've been out there for a couple of years. It's in Haymarket. It's probably 20, 25 minutes away. I probably should get out there more often, but it's an awesome spot. As far as the places that I really like to play, well, just in Ashburn, I play, you know, I got buddies that are either members or GMs at some of these local clubs at Belmont and River Creek, both in the Ashburn area. And they're, you know, 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I got buddies who are members over at Creighton Farm. That you would love Creighton if you haven't played Creighton yet.
Haven't played Creighton Farms yet. It's been a lot. Had Erica Larkin, the instructor over there. She's been on the show, but I've yet to actually. I stuck the drone up in the air and got some footage of it, but I have not actually teed it up.
You would, I mean, the homes are unbelievable. But and what I love about Creighton is you go out there, and I don't know how many members they have, but I've never had to wait on a hole. I've never had someone, you know, hitting into me. It's just wide open. Right. Yeah. So now I haven't played on the weekends. I'm sure the weekends are a little different. I usually play the weekdays, but it's great. But you know, I got a buddy who's a member at RTJ. Can't beat that. I got a buddy who's a member, my buddy Sam Weaver and Scott McBrien, who are buddies over at Congressional. And I try and just play all of them. You know, I try and get out and play Trump. Sure. I love Trump too. But
Scott McBrien, the old Maryland quarterback?
Scott McBrien, yeah. Played at West Virginia and Maryland, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good friend of mine and really good golfer too. And he and Sam Weaver, who I play with, they're the members over Congo. And Sam Weaver's an awesome, he's like a +2. And McBrien's probably a +4. And I just try and keep up with these guys, man. They just hit the ball long and straight. But look, to answer your first question, member at Evergreen, but I try and play everywhere, man, because I just like playing all these different courses. I couldn't imagine playing the same course every single day. That's just not me.
I agree.
And so I try and get out and play, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 courses a year. But I'm having a shoulder issue right now. I haven't played since early November because I've got this shoulder. I've got some tendon issues in my right shoulder. So I've been going to physical therapy twice a week. But I got to get my swing together soon because I've got a trip to Pebble Beach planned in late July.
Oh, wow.
So I got to be able to go out there and warm up and have some practice rounds before we leave in July. So hopefully by my PT saying I should be fine by end of April. So I probably got another month.
Was that a golf related injury or something different?
I mean, it's just age. I mean, I've swung a golf club a billion times. I've shot a basketball a billion times. I'm almost 54. It's probably a combination of everything. But
you were a basketball guy. You played for the legendary Morgan Wooten at the Matha, played at University of Richmond for the Spiders, D1 basketball. When did you pick up golf?
I used to play with my grandfather back in Sligo Creek, which is right off the Beltway, right there in Tacoma Park. And he would take me out there and I would hack around. Shit, I was probably 1977, 78 when I was, you know, I wasn't even 10. But then I didn't really start playing. Once I got to high school, I never played in high school. And then I moved down to, you know, I was going to, after Rich, after, I was only at Richmond for 1 year. Then I was going to Salisbury State. And I was working at Ocean City during the summers. Mm-hmm. I was working at the Carousel Hotel as a bellman. Okay. And another buddy of mine down there, John Rudo, was the was a head pro down there. And I started playing probably when I was 23. So that's when I started to really pick it up seriously. I didn't play throughout high school, and I didn't play for most of college. And then I started playing again and really starting getting hooked and addicted when I was living down at the beach. And I would just roll over to his golf course. I can't remember the golf course he worked at. It's not there anymore. It's not Ocean City Golf Club, but it was very close to that. So that's when I really started to pick it up. And it just kind of took off from there. And I got addicted to it, man. I really did. And I was still playing basketball.
That was my question, yeah.
Yeah, I was still playing. I was, you know, playing with my buddies and playing pickup. And but I really fell in love with golf, and I still love it. I'm addicted to it. I'm frustrated now because my shoulder's not letting me swing the club right now. But hopefully in the next month I'll be okay.
Yeah. Did you continue to play basketball at Salisbury?
No, I didn't because practices were at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was a really good D3 program. They were probably at one point ranked number one in the country in D3. They had a kid named Andre Foreman who was from Ocean City. He went to Stephen Decatur High School, and he could have played anywhere in the country. He could have played at Duke, Maryland, Kansas, North Carolina, anywhere, but he decided to stay close to home. And played at Salisbury. And they had another kid named Damian Ross who was awesome. He was an All-American. So I could have played with those guys, but I decided, you know what, I'm going to start getting into sports radio. And I started working for the campus radio station. And then I just started living my college life, you know.
Okay.
I couldn't see myself getting up at 6 a.m., practicing at 6 to 8, and then going to class for, you know, 3-4 hours. That just wasn't me. So I stopped.
So you had some experience. I'm not sure I ever knew that. So you had some kind of radio experience before the Junkies kind of started. You were doing some campus stuff. Is that why? I mean, you were friends with EB at the Matha. Is that why, you know?
Yeah. I knew all those guys, but EB and I went to high school together, but yes, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah. I started working for the campus radio station. I was also DJing. I had a I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, maybe 2 or 3 hour show on the campus radio station, just playing music and with another friend of mine. And we also started doing a Monday night, you know, call-in show. Now, when I say call-in, you could only hear it on campus, so it's not like people around Salisbury or Ocean City could call in. But that's when I started getting into it. I was doing some play-by-play for the basketball team, and I was doing some color for the football team. Shit, that was 1992, 93. But then I got out of it because I didn't really have any Washington radio connections. And I started just working some odd jobs. And then these guys, they called me up and said, hey, we're going to do something on Bowie Cable Access TV. You want to join? And I said, fuck yeah, let's go. And that's when it kind of all took off, because that's when the Washington Times, Dick Heller was the writer for he's no longer with us, but he wrote an article about us. And that's when WJFK actually read the article, saw the article, saw four local guys doing a radio show. Let's give them a shot on the weekends. They gave us a tryout, and it took off from there. We got lucky. It would snowball from there.
Interesting. So I got to ask. So you were. This is a funny anecdote that I only just realized recently, but I'm sure you're well aware, and you've probably talked about it on your show, but because it's related to Richmond basketball. So I was actually at the game. So Richmond was the first 15 seed to ever beat the 2 seed, as obviously you know, but making sure that the listeners out there are aware. And I was in 7th grade, and back then the game was at Cole Fieldhouse. Were you at that game? Were you on the team at that point? No.
I was a red shirt. Yeah.
You were a red shirt. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. So back then, to get tickets, again, I'm in middle school, and you had to write, submit something, like send a, I mean, this is obviously pre-internet. I think I had mail, like put my name and address on a 3x5 card, mail it in somewhere. It was a lottery just to have the right to buy tickets to the first and second round at Cole Fieldhouse.
Isn't that crazy?
It's super crazy. And so I won. And so once I won, I was able to convince my dad, like, hey, I won. We got to buy tickets. And, you know, took me out of class and we went. And it was one of the most, it was for the longest time, maybe still is, like the coolest sporting event I ever saw in person, because at the time a 15 seed beating a 2 is just impossible.
I still talk to some of those guys who are on that team. Chris Fleming was on that team. Chris Fleming was a transfer from UConn, and he's still a good friend of mine. He's actually assistant coach for the Chicago Bulls now. Okay. And Curtis Blair was on that team. Curtis Blair was, you know, he was all CAA for 2 or 3 years. He was really good. Yeah.
But the guy I was going to ask you about is and the reason I was bringing this up is Kenny Wood. And his son, who I'm not sure a lot of people maybe know that connection.
Yep. Kenny Wood. Yeah. Kenny Wood was at one time, he's from New York City. He was the all-time leading public school scorer in New York City history. Now, I'm sure that's been broken. Now, it's public school, and a lot of the great players obviously went to private school in New York. But yeah, his son, James Wood, is the top, if he's not the top prospect, he's one of the top two prospects for the Nats right now. And he's playing for the AAA squad in Rochester, New York. But I have a vibe he'll be called up sooner than later.
Absolutely.
But I still talk to Kenny, and I talked to Curtis. Curtis Blair is an NBA ref now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And there was a couple other kids on that team that were really good. But yeah, Jim Shields was my roommate. He was a big 6'11" kid from Erie, Pennsylvania. Played overseas for a while after he graduated, but I still, even though I wasn't there for 4 years, I still stayed connected to a lot of guys, a lot of good dudes that came through that program.
Yeah. I just did not know that Kenny Wood, James Wood connection until literally a couple weeks ago. I actually just went down. I did like a kind of a family. I got an 8-year-old now who's into golf, and we went down to spring training just a couple weeks ago for a spring break, and went to Nat Spring Training Park, and literally 15 minutes from walking in, we got James Wood's autograph. And so he was like super pumped. But James Wood's a stud. Hit a home run the game we went to. Yeah. And
he's going to be really good, you know, barring any injuries, but he's going to be really good because he's 6'6" and he can run, you know, he's got long strides. So he doesn't look like he's running fast, but he is fast. Mm-hmm. He's got great power, and he's going to be a right fielder for the Nats for a long time, hopefully. He comes up quick and stays healthy and has an immediate impact.
Yeah, and we got to talk golf here, but I came across, you know, the legendary D.C. sports writer used to be with City Paper Forever, Dave McKenna?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So he wrote an article. He's at some website now that I was not familiar with, but it popped up on my feed. But he wrote an article about – James Woods and how the head baseball coach at St. John's instituted this pay for play kind of off season training program and travel team while he was at St. John's. And not just James Woods, but there was a couple other stud players that are like playing in the minors now that basically said, no, we're not going to do it. And St. John's, the head coach and the AD just said, all right, well, bye. And they left, and James Wood, the Wood family, and took James Woods. I think he went down to IMG, maybe?
IMG, yeah. Yeah. Down in Florida.
But meanwhile, St. John's has been flourishing. They're like a top 10 baseball team. So, like,
yeah.
It kind of worked out for everybody. Well, but it's an insane story.
Things happen for a reason, right? That's the way I look at it. But, you know, James Wood had committed to Mississippi State to play in the SEC.
Okay.
And then he said, well, I was talking to his dad about the draft. And he says, yeah, if we go first round, we can't give up that kind of money. He went second round. He went early second round. But, you know, I don't know what percentage of guys that are drafted in the second round in the amateur draft end up going to college. But the money was, you know, it was pretty good, you know, and they decided to take the money, get right into the minor league system. And he's been escalating, you know, pretty quickly. He's only 20 years old, I think, maybe 21.
Yeah.
But he's young.
Big kid. So back to golf a little bit. So it's interesting, you know, going back, I mean, like you said, you guys have been on the air 30 years or so now. For a long time, it seemed like you were the only golfer of the junkies. And was that fair? Or at least you were the, I mean, maybe the other guys were golfing a little bit. Definitely not. I think JP is more of a new golfer.
Yeah, he's a new golfer. Eric started playing way before I did.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, but then he stopped playing for a while, and now he's hooked up again. So shit, it seemed like he went 10 or 12 or 15 years without playing. He just kind of lost it and wasn't interested anymore. And then recently, over the last, I want to say, year and a half or 2 years, he started getting back into it, and now he's a member at Norbeck,
right,
Country Club. He and Cakes are members at Norbeck. Now Cakes doesn't play; he just goes out and plays tennis and hangs out at the pool. But yeah, I was probably the only guy that was playing consistently, like religiously, consistently for probably the first, you know, first 10 to 12 years of the show.
Maybe you were the only guy talking about
it. JP would play every now and then, but like now he's addicted to it. So as we get older and it's harder to do all these other activities, it seems like golf is at the forefront.
Because of that, I mean, for so long, you guys have been the premier sports show in this area for so, so long. So, I mean, you guys – I'm sure the answer is yes, but I mean, I'm sure you guys have gotten PGA pros, you know, connections. How often do those emails come in? Hey, Jason,
if you want to come out and play? Just hit. Yeah. Just let us know. I mean, it happens a lot. It does. That's one reason why I'm out at Evergreen, to be honest with you. Chris Hall is out there. He's a good, great dude. Tommy Thompson, great guys. Yeah, I mean, that happened a lot. We got invitations to play anywhere, or if it wasn't from Andy Bond was at Trump for a while, and now he moved over
River Bend.
You know Andy?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, good dude.
Great guy.
So he would invite me out to Trump, so I would play out there, and now he's at River Bend in Great Falls, and I go over there and play. That was another one I forgot to mention, but yeah, I mean, that happened a lot. And, you know, and also got good friends who are members at some of these courses too. So I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky that I was able to meet some really, really good guys in the golf business and the golf industry. And it's just one of those things where, you know, I don't know if my golfing would have lasted very long if I didn't have some of these connections, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Because, you know, if I was just working in a sales job and, you know, it'd be very expensive to join these clubs, right? And go out and play and have guest fees. So I don't know. I don't know if I would do it, but very fortunate, and I tell these guys thank you all the time, man. They've hooked me up.
But you guys have also had, you know, you guys have had just countless guests and who's who, not just in the sports world, but kind of all over. But when you, I mean, your regulars, even to this day, Feinstein joins. Does he come in every week?
Every Friday, yep.
Every Friday. Steve Sands, is he a weekly, or how often he's come?
No, we just get him usually for – you know, if there's a big story in golf, but we always get him during the majors. So we'll have him next week for the Masters. We'll have him on Wednesday. I'm trying to get Denny McCarthy. Denny McCarthy and I talk, you know, we're not great friends. We don't hang out together because he lives in Florida. He's on the tour, but we talk a lot on text, and he's actually playing in the Masters this year.
First time.
Because he finished in the top 50 in the FedEx last year. So he's playing in – he plays all the signature events, and he's playing in the Masters. He's never played in the Masters, and he's really pumped. He's playing in the Valero this week down in Texas. He shot 68 today, actually.
I know this is recorded,
but he shot 68 today, first round of the Valero. But
yeah.
And so, yeah, Sandy's a great dude, and we'll get him on, you know, four or five times a year. We've had Faraday in studio to talk about the LIV Tour. Denny McCarthy, obviously, we have him a bunch of times, and we try and get as many big names in the industry. We've had Nance on before,
yeah.
So it kind of just depends on what's going on in the world of golf. Obviously, if there's a Tiger story off the course, you know, we're going to try and get some reaction from somebody, whether it's Sands or Nance or one of these other guys. But you know, we try and get Golf Channel guys,
sure.
You know, so
in the years,
we try and talk as much golf as possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, you guys absolutely do. In the years, certainly when Tiger was hosting his tournament here up at Congo in the AT&T National, then Quicken Loans was still his too, right? Did he ever swing by the studio? You guys ever have him on during those years?
No, he was too big time for us to get him in studio. But he had a press conference out at Congressional. And I can't remember what year it was. It was before all the nonsense started happening. But mm-hmm. he had a press conference, and he was taking questions from the media. Eric and I went out there, and we were too scared to actually ask him questions in front of the media. So we waited until he came down, and then he was taking one-on-one questions. So okay. We went and stood, you know, up, went to him, hey, Tiger, can we get a quick question? He said, 2 minutes. He goes, 2 minutes. His PR guy, 2 minutes. And so Eric and I asked him, I think, one or two questions each. But we were standing, you know, right next to each other. So that's the only time we've ever had Tiger on is when Eric and I went out there and asked him. It was recorded. It was probably a 5-minute conversation. We played it, you know, obviously on the show. But that was the only time we've ever had Tiger on. He's impossible. We've had Greg Norman on a bunch.
Yeah. Did you have Greg Norman on when he kind of was just launching LIV? Kind of selling it a bit?
No, I don't think we had him on post LIV. In fact, I know we haven't, but we had him on a few times. I can't remember exactly what he was promoting, but he was really nice. He was awesome. But then we had a LIV connection, which we've had some LIV golfers on since then, but
sure.
We got to get Norman back on. He's really fun to talk to.
Well, I mean, and Faraday now, not only is he with LIV, but he seems to be like the face of Ocean City Golf. He signed a big deal. I don't know what the deal is, but he seems to be heavily promoting Ocean City, Maryland. They've got a big music concert in the fall, and then they have a big tournament that I think he's the host of, and a bunch of the musicians kind of play in it.
Oh, really?
I think that's the deal.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that, but. Yeah, that concert series is huge. I mean, OAR, Mark Robert is the lead singer from OAR. He organized it, and he's also a good friend of the show.
Yeah.
But I didn't know Faraday was involved in that. I have to ask Mark about that.
I'm pretty positive because he's now on every commercial about Ocean City Golf Tourism. It's been David Faraday for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I don't get those commercials out here in Loudoun County. Surprised you get them in Arlington.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing them on social media. I have no idea. I dig it. There's another. So I had a couple. Tell me about Matt Valdez's game. I saw him at the Wells Fargo. I got the opportunity to play in the media day for the Wells Fargo at TPC Potomac last year, and I think it was maybe Drab, Valdez, Cakes, and JP were out there.
Right.
And I walked by and Valdez was just hitting just bombs on the driving range. Is he much of a player?
Yeah, he's been playing seriously he's more serious about it than I ever was. I think he's down to a 4. I could be wrong, but I think he's down to a 4. My current index is like an 8.2, but I haven't played since November. There's no chance I could go out there and play like an 8.2 now. But yeah, he's been playing a long time, and he's addicted to it. He's been getting he got personal training and personal coaching, and you know, swing lessons and all that stuff. And he's got great equipment, mostly courtesy of Golfdom. Our man Buddy is the owner of Golfdom. He's awesome.
Yep.
So
yeah,
he's been playing a lot. He's addicted.
How in all years of playing, how low have you gotten your own handicap?
I was down to a 7, you know, 7.2 or 3. That was probably, that was pre-COVID. So, you know, 18, 19. But my body just started to break down a little bit, and I've just kind of, you know, I've hung around that 7, 8, 9 range.
Sure.
So I'm still, you know, I'm still decent. You know, if I play really well, I'll shoot 80, 81. If I play average, I'm in the mid 80s. Play horrible, I'm in the low 90s. But I haven't broken 80 in a long time. I probably broke 80 20 or 30 times when I was in my early 40s. But I can't. There's no chance I could do it now. And mostly it's because my short game, I mean, it comes down to short game, right? And
sure.
There's always that one hole where you're around the green and, you know, you duff a chip or you lose one in the water and then you're putting for double bogey and you miss that, you're a triple. And those strokes will add up. And there's always one or two holes that'll fuck you.
Yeah.
And that's always really frustrated me. But I'm hard on myself too, Alex. I'm very hard on myself on the golf course. I don't have as much fun as I probably should because
I know that drill.
Yeah, I want to compete and I want to post a good score. Mm-hmm. Even if I lose a match, you know, if I'm playing a match with a buddy, if I'm losing a match but I'm still posting a good score, that's what I want to do. I'd rather lose money but play well instead of play average or bad and win the money. So, right. But, you know, as I get older, I got to kind of come to grips with that, and I haven't really been able to do that. But, yeah, I got down was about 7.2.
Do you have like a go-to, you know, I think anybody that listens to the show knows that you like to participate in the gambling arts. What is your game of choice on the golf course?
We just usually play at, you know, a Nassau, you know,
yeah.
It's usually what we do, or we'll play it, you know, we'll play a, you know, skins game, side action skins game. Some of these other guys that I play with, they get crazy and they like to play some, I can't remember the name of it. You probably do, Alex, but where you play hole to hole and then you can bet on the next guy's shot. You know what I'm saying? You can double the bet based on his next shot.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name of it, but I don't know the name of that.
I should know the name of that, but I can't get into that because then you're starting to talk about holes that are worth, you know, $5,500 and then I really start getting freaked out because if I know I'm hitting a fucking 125 yard shot that's worth $100, I'm going to shank that. I just can't do it. I'd rather play a $20 Nassau and the worst that can happen is I lose $60 and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But no, I'm kind of saying it's some of these games it gets, you know, you got to get a calculator out there or you got to get a notebook to keep track of them. I don't know. Some of these guys.
I got buddies that'll play. They love to play that shit. They love to play for as much money as possible per hole. And that's just not the way I am.
What about, so we talked about you even had a podcast going for a while called Picking Fatties, where it wasn't just gambling on golf, but gambling on all kinds of sports. Have you started to, not to get into a full scale Masters preview, but have you started to look at the lines a little bit?
Yeah, I have. I usually just go week to week, but since we were doing the show, I knew you were going to ask about it. So I don't know how to feel about this particular Masters because a lot of the guys that are in the top 20, 15 or 20 in terms of the odds aren't playing that well. So Scheffler's obviously balling out, right?
Sure.
He missed that 8-footer last week at Houston. And, you know, if that goes to a playoff, he probably wins that. And that's 3 straight. That's unbelievable. But Rory's not playing well if you look at his numbers this year. Rahm and Koepka are over in Liv. Spieth hasn't played that well. Zalatoris, he had a couple decent tournaments, but last week he was terrible. Hovland hasn't played that well. Shoffley's been okay. Justin Thomas has been okay. I mean, I Cantley's been okay. So I don't know, outside of Scheffler, who I would really look at. I mean, apparently Joaquin Niemann's been playing really well over in the Liv. I don't pay attention to the Liv numbers as much. I probably should, but I don't. But I know there's some guys over there that are playing well. And I don't know, maybe Niemann's someone to look at in the Masters, you know. But Scheffler right now is playing so well, it's kind of hard to overlook him, even though he is the favorite. He's 5-1.
Yeah, the app I use, they sponsored this podcast for a little while, and I got a buddy that works there. It's called Betway. But they got Scheffler 4-1. I don't remember a Masters. I mean, I'm certainly back in Tiger's heyday, yes, but where there was this much of a gap between the favorite and the next couple. Because, I mean, at least on Betway, you got Scotty at 4-1, and then McIlroy, which is kind of surprising, is the next at 10-1.
Yeah, you're right. That's a big gap. I don't know. I can't remember the last time there was that big of a gap between the favorite and the next guy. I'm kind of surprised, you know, if Rahm was playing on the PGA Tour right now, I'm guessing he'd be, if he's not at 4-1 or 5-1, he's probably pretty damn close, right?
Sure.
He should probably, he should, his number at 13-1 is probably a great number. That might be somebody we should look at because he's obviously won there. I don't know how he's playing in, over in Live. I don't pay attention to the scores, but I'm sure he'll be dialed in at Augusta. So that might be someone to look at. And then Koepka always balls out there, you know? He's usually, sure. You know, he only cares about four tournaments a year.
How many on a mat, on a, like how many bets will you put down? You don't have to give me dollar amounts, but how many different bets would you throw down like a Masters?
Well, I'm in pools. So okay. I'm in four pools. So one's a head to head. Another one is you pick three guys and the other two, you pick two. And then the ones that you pick two, you pick one American, one international. So if I'm doing the math right, that's 3, 5, 7. So eight guys. I'll have eight guys that I'll be rooting for. Now, some of those guys might be the same players in those pools, but I don't know. I usually don't bet on the winner. Although This year, Rahm, I think is probably a good bet. I would probably put 50 or 75 bucks on him at 13-1. That'd be a great bet. But I usually just do top five finishes or top 10, and then I'll do head to heads.
Sure.
So, and I'll usually take underdogs in those head to heads. You know, let's just say Hovland's playing against Cantlay. If Hovland's a slight dog, I'll take him in a head to head. And I do round by round. I usually don't do 4-day scores. I do round by round head to heads. So I'm all over the place, Alex. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do a bunch of different bets.
I like it. What's your betting app of choice?
Well, I'm a FanDuel guy because I'm an endorser.
Okay.
So, well, they're a big client of ours. So I'm usually on FanDuel.
Right on. What are your thoughts, Justin? I mean, just people, before I switch, I mean, are there any guys? Because I got a couple guys. I was looking at the odds. What are your thoughts on a first timer? I always botched the pronunciation. Ludvig Åberg, 25-1. First time.
Right. Great player.
When was the last time?
First-time winner or first-time player
at one? I know Fuzzy Zeller did it. And for so long, they were like, no one's done it since Fuzzy Zeller. I don't know.
Just based on history, I wouldn't bet on any of those guys. I mean, Åberg, he's a really good player, but, I mean, there's a lot of pressure. He doesn't understand what he's going to be feeling when he's out there at Augusta, especially if he makes the cut and he's playing on Saturday, if he's playing in one of the top three or four groups. There's a lot of pressure out there to these guys. So I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. I think you got to look at some of these guys, but I would probably stick to the top, the big names, because those are the guys that are used to the pressure. They know how to handle the shots. They know the strategies. They know what holes to take advantage of. And I think that it all comes down to experience those places.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a big fan.
And then Tiger.
100-1.
Tiger make the cut. That's another bet I'll make.
I was gonna say, have they posted odds on that yet? Have they?
I haven't seen that yet. No.
I'm a big fan of doing like a Denny McCarthy, for instance, who's 125-1. Is take Denny or somebody in that range, and you're basically betting on him to be in the mix, and then not to give up hope on Denny or whoever else it is, but sell him early on Sunday or late on Saturday, and you usually get a good payout.
That would be awesome if Denny was in the mix. He can putt his ass off, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
And I'm just waiting for Denny to – and he was close last year to winning. He lost to Hovland in, you know, where did he lose? Where was that?
I know. I can't remember.
But yeah, he's putted so well over the last 3 years. He's really close. And maybe it's this week, but I think he's gonna win sooner than later. But I would love to see Denny play great at the Masters. That would be awesome. I mean, you got to remember, and you know this, it's a small field, right?
Sure.
So there's only, 90 players, maybe 100 players. So if he can just make the cut, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen on the weekend. But just to see him in the mix would be awesome.
What is your, if you put your crystal ball or your you know, little, your prognosticator hat on, how do you think this whole PGA Tour Live thing shakes out?
I don't know, man. They're pretty far apart. And I know that all these players are really starting to get frustrated. I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, there's so much money over there that I can't imagine that more guys aren't going to jump. Now, Monahan went out there and got a $3 billion prize, right? And that was a huge get to keep some of these guys here. So $1.5 billion of that's going to the players. And then the other $1.5 billion, I don't know, that's going to purses, and you know, they'll spread that out. But the fact that they've got these signature series events, these eight series signature events, $20 million purses, which is basically guaranteed money for all these guys. And now they went out and got this $3 billion influx of money for the guys. It's going to keep some, especially the big names here. But I feel like some of these players over the last 2 or 3 weeks are realizing, and I'm talking about the LIV guys, are realizing that the PGA Tour fans, golf fans in general, really aren't paying attention to the LIV guys anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Because just like I said, I don't pay attention. I'm a huge golf fan, but I don't pay attention to how they're doing in the tournaments. I don't even know what the schedule is. I know they're playing the Greenbrier this year, but I don't know where they're playing, you know, every other week, or, you know, I guess they play twice a month, something like that. But, and I think that the golfers are starting to realize that fans don't care anymore. And that might affect the PGA Tour guys too. But at least the PGA Tour is televised, and we can watch them every week. I don't know when I could watch the guys on LIV. It's not on my radar.
Yeah, no, it's not. I think you're 100% right.
So I don't know, to answer your first question, I don't know what the future is unless the PGA Tour says, okay, all right, we're good with it. All right, let's just merge. Some guys can play over there if it's a smaller tour schedule. You guys can play in all these big events here. But I don't think Monahan and Rory and Tiger, because those are the three big dogs, are going to give up. So I don't see it ending anytime soon. I don't know about you.
Do you think – yeah, I don't have any better answer. Do you think Norman regrets some of the format stuff, like the shotgun start and the three rounds versus four, you know, preventing them from getting OWGR? I also think, to your point of saying, like, it's like, because I'm the same way, like, they're just kind of not on your radar. Not just do you not know where they are on television and when they're televised, but like, I cut the cord. So sometimes, you know, whatever app I'm using, you know, Roku or YouTube TV, just kind of pops up golf when it's relevant. So I don't necessarily need to find it. But when I do turn it on, it's like such a new product, it's hard to really follow. You know, and I think our brains are kind of just trained to, like, you know how a PGA Tour tournament works, and anything else is kind of just feels exhibition-y.
Does he regret it? I don't know. That's a good question, because obviously that does affect the world ranking points system, because they're not going to give points to guys who are playing three rounds. But he knew that that was going to be one of the attractions to getting guys to come over there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Brooks Koepkas of the world, they don't like playing, you know, 20 to 22 to 24 events a year, playing four rounds and have to grind out to make the cut to make money.
Yeah.
So he knew that you get guaranteed money anytime. You're going to play 3 days instead of four. And, you know, they're team events. You know, guys like the team events, especially the guys who played in the Ryder Cup. So I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if he regrets it or not. I'm sure he doesn't regret the fact that he got paid to represent LIV, right? But I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating, because I want to see all those guys play over here. I don't have anything against LIV.
Sure.
I don't blame any of those guys for going over there and taking the money at all. But I do want to see those guys more than four times a year playing over here.
About switching gears, but back to gambling a little bit, in the recent weeks, and even more recently with the whole Shohei Ohtani thing, do you think, you know, what do you think about the, I mean, obviously you're a gambler. We already talked about that. This whole shift in the United States where gambling is absolutely everywhere, and it seems like a massive scandal, whether it be Ohtani or something else, is just a matter of time. You know, what do you think about it all?
I would agree.
I don't know what my question is, but
no, I think it's interesting, because for the longest time, all of these professional sports leagues were anti-gambling. Yeah. They were tolerating fantasy. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're right. They were anti-gambling, and now it makes the world go round.
Right.
And they're getting so much money from these gambling sites, and the Ohtani thing. I mean, shit, that stuff with, I mean, Ohtani, just the fact that it went public, everyone thinks, oh, no, okay, so now professional athletes are doing. Professional athletes have been betting on sports forever.
Yeah.
Believe me, in a legal way. You know, maybe they all have a bookie here and they go through another guy, a third party. But
sure.
But you're right. It's a big deal. And shit, you know how much money was bet on the Super Bowl last year. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy amounts of money on the Super Bowl. And Roger Goodell loves it. They fucking love it, right? And they have all these sports betting apps that are sponsors and advertising, and it's a big deal. I don't know how many states right now have legal sports betting apps. I'm guessing it's around 20 to 25, but eventually it's going to be every state.
Yep.
Maryland has it, right? Maryland's.
Maryland has it. Virginia has it online. Maryland has it both. North Carolina just approved it. DC has it.
North Carolina just approved it. California, yep. I think, just approved it.
Did that?
It's coming out to California.
But have you talked with like Sands? Have you talked with Sands or even Feinstein or anybody about? Because there, I could be wrong. There was a golfer last year that they suspended because there's some suspicion of gambling, right? I'm making
from
that up.
Golfer last year.
I feel like there was. It was a smaller guy. It was not a household name. I could be getting.
Yeah, you might be right.
But my question about a golf is like, you know, you're not part of a team. You're not part of a larger league. You know, you're kind of an independent contractor, but it'd also be so easy to do. I mean, you're talking about, you know, placing a bet on Tiger Woods if he makes the cut at the Masters. And I mean, obviously not the Masters and not Tiger Woods, but a smaller guy at a smaller tournament. If someone wants to, you know, put the fix in, all you got to do is not make the cut. Big payday.
Who knows? Maybe that's already happened. We have no idea.
Totally.
Right?
Absolutely.
No, but you're right. And I've been gambling since I was in probably early college, late high school, early college. So, and I was just going through bookies. And now that it's so easy, you just log on your phone and place, you know, $5 money line parlay or same game parlay or whatever you want to do. And you can, you know, it's crazy. And you can bet on everything. You can bet on every sport. In golf, you can bet on, you know, first round leader. You can bet on certain holes. You can bet on over unders and on scores. You can bet on top five finishes, top 10 finishes, top 25 finishes. I mean, there's so many different aspects to every sport. And like you said, man, it makes the world go around now in sports. And Shohei won't be the only guy that's involved in this. There'll be other big names. You watch.
For sure. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, what the first state, whether it's a municipality or whether it's the first league that kind of starts to backtrack, because nobody's really done it yet. But you would think if there's a big scandal like there was back in the 50s and stuff like that, that at some point it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine these states are going to backtrack when they're getting a certain cut from everything that's coming in.
So much money.
Right? So, yeah. It'd be hard to envision that, but you may be right.
Yeah. Couple random questions before I let you go. Back to DC golf. It sounds like you've played and play basically, you know, all the top clubs and courses that anybody that would want to play. You've played them. Is there any still bucket list in the Mid-Atlantic that you haven't gotten out to or you want to get out to?
What haven't I played? Oh, I'm blanking. What's the one right there in Montgomery County that's real private?
Burning Tree?
I've not played that.
Nah, I can't say I have either.
But, I've had opportunities. Well, I can't say plural opportunities. I had one opportunity, but it just didn't work it out. But, yeah, that's the one that I really need to play.
Okay.
I've played all the other ones in the area. And I love all those courses, but that's the one I have not played. And so that's probably the one. Have you – now, this is obviously not in the DMV. Have you been to Pebble yet?
I have not. Never been to Pebble. Is this your first time going or have you
– No, this will be my fourth.
Okay.
And my buddy Carl Seltnicks, who – he owns a drywall company in Montgomery County called Capital Drywall. And he's a good friend of mine. And he's got a lot of connections out there. So he's taking me out there every single year. And we're going out again in July. Oh, nice. You, my friend – you need to go play Pebble. That's got to be a bucket list thing.
Absolutely.
Go play Pebble.
Is that your number one? Is that like your...
Oh, that's my number one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You won't believe it if you ever get out there. You just won't believe... You know, when you're watching the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on tour and watching Jim Nantz, the video doesn't do it justice. When you're out there, you wouldn't believe how beautiful it is and how picturesque. It's just an incredible experience.
When you do that trip, is that the only course you play, or are you playing some of the other ones right there?
No, we play Spyglass and we play Pebble, and we've played Spanish Bay once or twice too, but it's usually a 3-day event, and we go Pebble twice and Spyglass, or we'll go Pebble, Spyglass, Spanish Bay, but usually it's Pebble twice and Spyglass once.
How
Spyglass
big is
great too.
Is this a small group or a larger outing?
Usually first year we went out with four, and then we expanded to eight. So this year we're going out with eight as well. Before your body tells you can't play anymore, you need to get out to Pebble, my friend.
Absolutely. How do you do a lot of golf trips outside the DMV? Do you have like a regular crew that you'll do kind of bucket list kind of things?
No, that's it. That's the big one.
That's the big one.
Every year, that's a good one. I'd love to get down to Florida and play some more. I'd love to get down to Kiowa and some of the great golf courses down in South Carolina. There's one course down in South Carolina that Daniel Island Country Club, which is really, really nice. Got two courses there. They held the U.S. Amateurs there last year. Okay. That's also another one I want to play. But no, usually it's just Pebble. That's the only one outside of DMV that I go to.
Yeah. Well, you go out like this year, for instance, the Solheim Cup is out at RTJ, or even the U.S. Mid-Am down in Richmond. Like, will you make the trek to – I mean, RTJ is close.
I'm definitely going to go to the Solheim. Because I follow a lot of these I watch the LPGA all the time. So I want to see some of these girls close up and hit these balls. That's going to be a great event. And I don't think it'll be very crowded, which will be great, especially on the first day. Maybe on Sunday it'll be crowded, but I'm going to try and get out there on that Friday. And I can't wait to see. Nelly Korda is just a baller.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to watch some of these girls. So the one down in Richmond, you said? What's that?
That's the U.S. Mid-Am. And I think it's maybe 2 weeks. It's like 2 or 3 weeks before Solheim. It's also like August, September.
I'll definitely get down to the Solheim because that's 30 minutes from the house.
That's cool. Did you make it out to the KPMG at Congo? Is that last year? Last year? 2 years?
Yeah.
Ago? Yeah.
I did not, but the other guys did. Yeah. Gotcha. I did not.
Very cool. Now the junkies that you guys have, did you guys used to have like a golf tournament, but I think it was for your buddy that passed away. It was kind of a fundraiser.
Our buddy Craig, who passed away in a car accident years ago. We did it for about 10 years, but it was just, and some of my other buddies kind of were at the forefront of organizing it and getting sponsors and all the day-to-day activities that it takes. There's a lot of work that goes into putting on a charity golf tournament. So we did it for about 10 years. We raised a bunch of money for the foundation and for his wife. And we haven't done it in a while. Maybe it'll come back at some point, but I don't think so. That was the only charity event we did.
Yeah. Well, very cool, man. I'll tell you what, it's been a pleasure to chat with you and kind of just chat golf and you know some old basketball stories and a little bit of gambling, and because I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You guys, you know, institutions in sports radio around here is a bit of an understatement. Enjoy the Masters, Jason. This has been awesome. Pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to chat with you and have an awesome trip to Pebble Beach.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
I don't have a good golf game, but I don't really care. I'm a regular dude living in D.C., and I want to know about D.C.-centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about D.C. golf.